Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable. We get ready to wrap up hour number one. We'll move into hour number two. That transition's just going to happen seamlessly. You'll just never notice.
No.
And you'll just never want it to end. You'll hope hour two turns into hour three and so on and so forth.
Infinite.
But governmental regulations say that you can't have too much good baseball talk in one setting.
So listen, leave them wanting more.
That's right.
Leave them wanting more.
Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
In the past, I have waffled on his Hall of Fameness.
Okay.
I will do so no longer.
No longer. He is not. No, he is. Wait a minute. What are you going to say?
Get this man a plaque.
Get him one. Okay. All right. What makes you so sure that Carlos Beltran is a Hall of Fame worthy player with no doubt in your mind?
He's done enough, man. He's done enough.
Done enough. What do you mean?
He's had a Hall of Fame career.
How do you define Hall of Fame career?
He's got homers. He's got doubles. Okay. He's got steals. He's got hits. He's got runs. He's got some periods of pretty good defense in his career. And he's a Hall of Famer because I said so.
Right on. Right on. This guy's an interesting case. He is the modern Hall of Fame debate personified.
Nope.
He is the guy who does not accumulate 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, a 300 career batting average, the things that once were slam dunk. Obviously, this guy is in because of those numbers. But he is a really, 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 really good player. And by the new way of looking at guys, he becomes the guy that, as I said,
No.
He becomes the guy
no.
who now is the test
no.
case for all new guys.
No.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You're wrong.
He's a Hall of Famer by every measure. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, you want to talk about this new way, old
uh-huh.
way, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Is Ozzie Smith in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so.
Under what way did he get in?
Bill Mazeroski.
Mazeroski got in with Ozzie was voted in.
Yeah, that's true. All I'm saying is Carlos Beltran is the new way of looking at guys when you can't go with the simple traditional old metrics of batting average, home runs, RBIs. He did not accumulate those things.
Is Joe Morgan in the Hall of Fame?
Listen, are we talking second baseman? Or are we talking outfielders
here? I'm talking
here?
Baseball
what
is, players,
What do
brother?
Outfielders get in? Name me an outfielder that's gotten in on defense.
He's not getting in
I'm
on
just
defense.
I'm just saying.
But
you
I
bring
can
up
find
Ozzie
you plenty.
Smith. You bring up Joe Morgan, two of the greatest defenders at their positions.
Joe Morgan
How about
didn't
that?
Get in because of his
I'm
offense.
I'm just saying. Bell Mazeroski, these guys get in largely on defense, and Beltran's not that. We're talking, it's apples and oranges. You can't compare Ozzie Smith to Carlos Beltran.
Was Al Kaline an outfielder?
Al Kaline was
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Al Kaline. He's there.
Is he as good as Carlos Beltran?
Well, that's a good question.
No.
Carlos Beltran.
And I love Al Kaline, one of the great gentlemen of the game.
Yes. Carlos Beltran in his 19 years this guy's been playing. He came up at age 21. He's 110 years old now. He's been playing forever, and his career slash line is .281 batting, .354 on base, .493 slugging. What's lost in that is some of the case that can be made for him based upon the complete ball player that he is. Here's the problem I've got with the old way of looking at guys. Is they do one thing that stands out, they accumulate numbers based upon that maybe one particular talent, and they're a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame, and guys like Beltran get overlooked, who is an all-around incredible and great player in every aspect of the game in his career, and he gets overlooked, and we have to have a debate on whether guys like this deserve even consideration. Well, not we, you and me, but we collectively in the baseball community. Well, I'm like Carlos Beltran. What has he ever done?
I'm knocking people out. I ain't debating nobody.
His 162 game average is .281, 28 homers, 102 RBIs. The dude has averaged for 19 years. He's averaged in 162 game average 100 RBIs and 21 stolen bases. He is a 2020 average guy. Name me another player in history that would be a 2020 average over 162-game season for 19 years that would not automatically be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
There's no such thing. Listen, He does it for me in every area. By metrics,
mm-hmm.
he gets it done. Mm-hmm. By counter stats, he gets it done. And you want to talk about a strong counter stat case. That's why I disagree with the idea that he doesn't meet the standard of the old guard. I mean, you're talking about he's going to pass 1,500 runs. He's going to approach – and this is assuming if he quits at the end of this year.
Right.
He's going to pass 1,500 runs. He's going to approach 2,600 hits. He's going to have over 1,000 extra base hits in his career. He's got over 300 steals. He's going to have over 1,500 RBI. I mean, my goodness.
Well, he's,
what
listen,
a career.
He is absolutely incredible. And the problem with a guy like this is that, as I said, for the baseball community, he's not done just one thing that is overwhelmingly so incredible that you stand back and say, well, my goodness, this guy hit 600 home runs in his career. He's got 3,000 hits. He is, unfortunately, the guy who's looked at as, well, yeah, he's all right. And you don't realize how incredible he really, really is. And I can't disagree with the Hall of Fame case to be made for this guy. Here's my comp, okay? This is my comp. It doesn't have the accumulated numbers, but I'm going to pull here the 162-game average for this Hall of Famer. You'll never guess who it is. No, I didn't say you, just anybody. You never guess who it is. Okay, so let me read you again. Let me pull this over real quick here. I'm going to read you again Beltran's numbers over his 162-game average, if I can get him here. 162-game average for Carlos Beltran. You ready for this? 281, 354, 493. 28 home runs, 102 RBS. Now, let me pull up this other player, if I can find him. I got so many different tabs pulled up here on my – you ever have that problem?
Yes.
I do all the time.
Daily.
I have so many tabs pulled up on my – okay, here we go. The other player, career 285, 379, 462. On average, in 162-game season, 22 home runs, 90 RBIs. Slam dunk Hall of Famer. Slam dunk. No question. This guy, in his career, hit 452 home runs. Beltran has 411. A little more. This guy in his career had over 3,400 hits. You getting closer to maybe guessing? Also an outfielder, left-handed swinger. Beltran, by the way, a switch hitter, which to me gives him more points for the Hall of Fame, played for 23 seasons for one organization and is known by one name.
Yes.
That's my comp for Carlos Beltran. Carl Yastrzemski. Not because of the accumulated numbers, but you look at what he did.
162-game average.
Now, did Beltran dominate like Yaz did? No, not dominate. But if we want to compare, hold on. Now, wait just a second. He doesn't deserve to be in because he doesn't have the numbers of these other Hall of Fame. You put him up 162-game average, what would he do? He's better production-wise in 162-game average than Yaz was on average. Does that make him a better player? That's not what I'm saying. But when you start comparing to say, okay, let's look at guys from yesteryear, it's an interesting – I'm not saying it's the best comp, but it's an interesting – I pulled up Yaz because I thought, who's a guy who played a long time, who accumulated some numbers that Beltran has not accumulated, and was a great, great player? Yaz, to me, comes into the picture there, and you say, well, okay, Beltran's 162-game average, pretty good. Now, you look at Yaz's domination – batting average-wise, he led the league in hitting three different times, led an on-base five different times, and slugging three different times, in OPS plus four different times. Beltran didn't do those things. So, but at the same time, when you then go to numbers, when you start looking at what Beltran has done during the time of his career, and I had this pulled up too. This is one of those deals I probably won't be able to find. But Beltran, from 99, when he actually broke in to now, I believe when it comes to wins above replacement for outfielders, I believe he's first or second in wins above replacement in that time during his career. How's he not get in?
Oh, he does.
There you go. Is let me ask you this out of hand. He's been
caught stealing 49 times in his career.
Yes.
311 yes. out of 360.
He is one of the smoothest players I've ever seen, and I love to watch him swing the bat. And listen, I, as I said a minute ago.
And you want to hear me say some dirty words? You want to hear me say something?
Go ahead.
He was better than Yaz.
Uh-oh. Is Yaz a good comp here? You think? I mean,
no, it's a great comp. Well, and what it is it's a great example of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
In terms of the process of making these decisions and weighing these players.
And again, you know, I've made the argument before that you have to look at what did this guy do in his era against his guys. First and foremost, you know, to compare Carlos Beltran to Babe Ruth is ridiculous.
But here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a club.
All right.
I'm going to give voters a challenge on Carlos Beltran. You find me how many players had over 1,500 runs, 2,500 hits, 500 doubles, 400 homers, 1,500 RBIs, and 300 stolen bases and 1,000 walks.
Yeah.
You check those filters
and see
how many guys.
Yep, keep looking.
You're going to have you a real short list.
The counter argument could be, well, he got hurt a lot. You know what? Did he dominate as much as he could have? Well, here's the thing. If you're going to say that, and you're going to say, well, he didn't have these numbers and whatever, you got to – I mean, some of the guys from the Hall of Fame got to go. They got to go because over 19
– Yaz
is gone. Anyway, some of these guys – I mean, you know, would Yaz have had 3,400 hits if he'd only played 15 seasons? No. Would it, if he – you know, if he had played 10 – you know, if we're going to go with the injury argument – And he was interrupted, and we never really got a full picture of how great he could be for a 10-year period right in a row. Sandy Koufax got to go then. Koufax is out. If you're going to go with the injury argument, dude had 5 good years.
Well, listen,
got to go.
I'm not. First of all, I'm not somebody interested in taking anybody out.
Right.
Nor am I interested in comparing one player to another. I have no interest in that. Carlos Beltran stands on his own merit, and if he needs bonus points, here's his career triple slash line in the playoffs, 332, 441, 674.
Yeah, bonus points.
One of the greatest postseason performers of all time.
The run he had with the Astros.
You want to talk about dominant?
Holy moly.
Let me give it to you again. 332, 441, 674. 52 postseason games, 16 postseason homers.
That's ridiculous.
He hit 16 postseason homers,
11 stolen bases,
and 184 at bats.
Yep. Oh, it's insane.
Clippity clop on the track to the Hall of Fame.
Does he get in?
Yes, he does.
You think so?
Yes, he does.
Not just because you say so.
No, I think he gets in. He will not get in quickly, but unless
he got 10 years now.
But unless somebody produces a piece of paper that says he tested positive for PED. If you want cleanliness in Major League Baseball and your Hall of Fame, you listen, if you ain't putting a guy like this in, you ain't got nobody to induct.
Do you think enough folks in the voting pool will feel and this is a dumb question. Because it's a ridiculous argument because we're not talking about what we just talked about. We'll feel comfortable enough saying this guy is a Hall of Famer to vote him in.
Yes, because Tim Raines is going to finally bust down the door this next year. And Raines, like Beltran, and Raines doesn't have the power numbers or the longevity in terms of some of this stuff that Beltran does. I mean, Tim certainly played a long time. He didn't play as a full-time player a long time. But Raines is going to get in. And everybody will recognize the totality of a player's contributions rather than the one area.
This is interesting, and this is why I say that
Beltran, he will get in.
Beltran is a guy who is sort of the modern case study. And I say that because if you look at his career, he's never led the league in anything.
Yeah.
But does that matter? That's the question.
No, it doesn't to the Hall of Fame voters. It hasn't because the reverse case for me is my guy Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly spent 2 or 3 years as the best player in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't matter to them.
No.
And whatever.
Yep. It's interesting. I can't make a case against him in any way. I think he should get in. I don't know that he will early, as you said. I think you're talking 7, 8 years. Maybe he's on the ballot before. Well, I say this. Maybe the voting base has changed enough by this time
because
might not retire this year or the next.
I would get up in front of the Baseball Writers Association of America and say, stand for what you say you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
which is guys who can really play the game in every facet of the game. Right. This was a guy who represented himself effectively as an, and not just effectively, but in a great way, as an offensive player, as a defensive player, as a base runner. He could do everything that you wanted a baseball player to do.
Yeah. And I love the fact, you know, as I mentioned before, I love the fact that he's a switch hitter. And, you know, he's a guy now, you know, is does that automatically get you something? No, but when you start talking about greatest switch hitters of all time, Eddie Murray, Mickey Mantle, Chipper Jones, these kind of guys start coming to mind. Carlos Beltran has to be up there with those guys, and maybe that gets him in the minds of voters that need to be swayed. They start looking at those things as well. In his career, just by the way, and this is why I love the idea of switch hitters, because they have to be great from both sides of the plate. Versus right-handed pitchers in his career, he's 281, 357, 486. Versus left-handed pitchers, so this is from the right side, he's 282, 346, 510. He's great from both sides of the plate. And
Baseball Reference, wins above replacement among position players, he's 70th all time.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Well, listen.
You're top 100.
Yeah,
you're really, really, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Carlos Beltran, Hall of Famer.
Man, enjoyed the heck out of that.
That's pretty good.
Let's do it again.
You know, might as well. I'll bring up Yaz again.
I was and Yaz was great, by the way.
I thought it was a decent comp.
Great. I was watching a Twitter conversation the other night between our guy David Schoenfeld with the Sweet Spot blog, big Mariners fan, just you know, huge baseball guy. Yeah. But anyway, conversation, he was talking about Keith Hernandez killing the Mets on the Mets broadcast one night. So anyway, some people started talking about what a great player Keith was, and some guys advocated for Keith being in the Hall of Fame. And Schoenfeld simply said he didn't deny nor confirm his feelings on Hernandez's Hall of Famer, but he said, but he'll have to wait in line behind John Olerud.
Mm.
And so that there started out the conversation with the guys about who was better, Olerud or Hernandez.
Right.
And fun comps from two sweet swinging left-handed hitters and phenomenal defensive first baseman.
I'm going to go push on this. These guys are the same player.
Except Olerud much better in terms of the career offensive numbers, some of them.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
Much stronger.
Olerud in his career, 295 batter, 398 on base, 465 slugger. Hernandez, 296 batter, 384, 436. So there is some disparity there. You know, to me, if you're drafting a team and you say, which of these guys you take, and you say, well, Olerud's gone, but you can get Keith Hernandez. Oh, good, okay. Well, Hernandez is gone, but hey, that John Olerud guy's still, all right, I'll take him. You know, these are interesting Hall of Fame cases, too, because can you allow a great defender who plays a position for which defense is not Hall of Fame worthy, let's say, and a position – I'm just stating the facts. I'm stating the facts.
Boo.
A position that requires a man to hit lots of home runs to get into the Hall of Fame conversation – can these guys get into the Hall of Fame conversation?
I hope my late great friend Joey Fosco is listening in
right
now
on.
From his position in heaven, because we used to fight like cats and dogs over this. First base defense is the most improperly evaluated thing in the game of baseball. There's nothing else that is misunderstood in terms of its importance in the way that first base defense is. There is no position on the diamond, save pitcher and catcher, more important than the first baseman.
Handles the ball quite a bit.
None. If you've got a guy that can flat out pick it at first base, he is going to save you outs and runs all year long.
Yep.
If you've got a guy that can understand how to work around that bag, he knows when to stretch, he knows when to be able to go left, right, upstairs, I'm telling you, absolutely beautiful. And if you think playing first base is easy, then you need to go over there and play the other hot corner.
Yeah.
You need to have to come off and defend after you've been holding a runner.
Right.
You need to be responsible for the 3-6-3 or the 3-6-1 double play. You need to be able to deal with bunt coverages and the running game and relays. I'm telling you, teaching somebody to play first base well is as hard as anything in the game. And you guys at the other positions, you ain't doing nothing. First base defense.
That's right.
Give me a Hall of Fame caliber defender. Keith Hernandez, put him in. And I hated the man. Absolutely hated him.
Keith Hernandez could get a bag of sugar to the Hall of Fame at second base. He's going in with Dan Uggla.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Uggla, you don't have to move, man. Hernandez covering all the right side. Listen, I will see your hyperbole to some degree, but I will also see your valid argument. Listen, first base defense, for anybody that's ever played on the left side of the infield, first base defense is huge. Now, I made three bad throws in my career. I'm just joking. I made a few bad throws in my career. And listen, some of those throws were picked by first basemen who really could play first base. I played third base in high school. Had a first baseman my when I was a senior who went on to play at U of L, and he was a left-hander, just smooth around the bag. Listen, you throw it over there, he's going to get it, and it is a nice thing to have a guy when you're playing left side that you know this guy knows what he's doing over there. You just get it close. You know, tough plays, whatever. Listen, not every play is a routine play. We're not talking about the ball that, you know, the play is just a, you know, routine play. The guy makes a bad throw. We're talking about playing the hole that he's trying to get it over there. First baseman's got to help him out and whatever. You know, I don't disagree with you on how difficult first base is to play well. Anybody can play first base. Not anybody can play it well. And these guys were exceptional.
That's right. It's not how fast you mow.
That's right. That's how well you mow fast. Do these guys, in your mind, do they merit slam dunk Hall of Fame consideration?
Yes, because I'm tired of it.
Okay.
I'm tired of the
double
standards.
Why are they not in?
I'm tired of the guys, oh, he hit a lot of home runs. Let's put him in. He's a big offensive player. Baseball's a two-way game. You don't send that. It's not football. You don't send out the offense, then send out the defense.
So David Ortiz doesn't get in.
Get the job done. I ain't seeing him.
Because he's on this list, too, of guys.
But,
I'll let
you do it that well, I'll let you in. Plus, I like it.
These guys were not.
But let's not deny two-way players. And I'm going to say again, nobody appreciates Ozzie Smith's wizardry at defense at shortstop more than me. Nobody. Nobody. But the man saw four bad hops in his entire career.
Yeah. I'm playing on turf.
Playing on freaking turf, man. Yeah. But that doesn't diminish his greatness. Ozzie Smith was unbelievable, and Ozzie Smith deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm glad he's there. But if he gets to be there, then so does Keith Hernandez. John Olerud.
Can you compare these guys like you just did? Can you say that, you know what, all around, I mean, yeah, Ozzie Smith played a premium defensive position. It required him to make plays back in the hole and throw the ball farther and all that stuff. Can you make the case that Olerud and Hernandez were hands down just better all-around players?
Absolutely they were.
Even though they played first base, it's not recognized as
– Right.
Yeah.
I can't help it that baseball's stupid.
So if you're drafting a team, you're taking Hernandez or Olerud over Ozzie Smith.
I would think so. Now, I've got to know what the makeup of my team is.
Okay.
I've got to have another shortstop.
You get number
option.
One pick, and these are some of the guys. But here's the thing.
If you want to know what General Manager Turner is looking for in his fantasy draft, I'll take the shortstops that can hit. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You know, now they got to field their position, but I want two-way guys all around the field. I'm not going to be looking to first pick anybody who's one-dimensional.
Let me ask you this. Is Derek Jeter a better player all around than Ozzie Smith?
Oh, good Lord.
Jeter's a terrible defender.
I'd rather have no range. I'm assuming I'm going to have enough offense. I would rather have Smith.
Okay. Batting him ninth.
Yeah. Or 11th.
Yeah.
How long's the lineup?
I mean,
DH because
there's no question he is a far and away better offensive player than Ozzie Smith.
Well,
but Smith could play circles around him.
Boy, and I hated the offensive player that Derek was. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, listen, he was a singles guy, you know, inside out sort of. But he
was great.
He was a good offensive player, much better than Ozzie Smith, but not even, I mean, not even in the same league defensively. I mean, this is
I really appreciate Derek Jeter, the player and the person, but I'm not a big Jeter fan.
Oh, I know you're not. That's why I ask you.
Yeah.
That's why I ask you. I mean,
Ozzie Smith, Derek Jeter. Didn't dig the game.
Smith.
Guys fighting it off their fist 3,000 times. It's just not, you know, it's something.
Mr. November, you know, greatest play by a shortstop you'll ever see.
He's a great
Joe
player.
Buck.
You know, relatively speaking.
Well, hey, listen. But, I mean, you know, if we're talking about – you know, just all around, and you want the guy who is offensively better, Jeter has to be your guy. Does he not?
I said I like two-way guys. I don't take bums with a leather, man.
Ozzie Smith.
I'll take Ozzie and let Poppy hit.
How do you rate Ozzie? Is he 100 defensively on a scale of 100, 100 being the great? And then Jeter, is Jeter a 20?
Ozzie be pretty close to 100. He couldn't throw. He didn't throw well.
No, he didn't throw well.
And much of
he didn't arm. Have to, though, on turf.
Cat out of the house.
He just bounced it over.
He always bounced the cat out the house.
Right, yeah,
you know?
He kind of rolled him over. You know?
Let me get rid of this really quickly.
Yes.
This is going to take a half hour.
Yes, he's rolling Garfield out of the house.
Jeter a 20. I don't think it was that bad. The
50?
Balance of his career, probably a 50, yeah.
Offensively, then, on a scale of 1, I'm talking shortstop, scale of 1 to 100, well, Jeter, now, what is Jeter, an 80?
Oh, Lord, no. About a 70.
A 70? What's Ozzie? A 30?
Well, if you're going to let him play on turf, he's about a 50.
Well, he can beat the ball on the
ground.
You're
going to let him chop it and run. Right.
And
but,
so
I mean, Jeter,
it, you know.
But now, Ozzie, to me, was a greater – the difference between them defensively is greater than the difference in them offensively, because if you just want to roll out total cumulative hits, Ozzie had a bunch of them.
That's true. He didn't hit with any power.
He didn't hit with any power.
None. You know, but I mean, but again, this is where we start to go when you talk about these players is, you know, here's an all-around better player,
well,
and what do I want at each position?
The only thing I hate about doing this is I'm running down Derek Jeter, which I don't want to
do. Yeah, we're not really trying to do that.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. but interesting, I mean, listen, guys like Olerud, guys like Hernandez, you know, I look at them when I was a kid. Would I have had a page in my baseball card binder for those guys? And the answer is absolutely yes, I did. So to me, is that my Hall of Fame kind of guy? You know, I had one for Kevin Moss too, you know. So, I mean, you know, Mighty Mouse didn't get in. But is he a guy that in his time dominated, was known for being a great, great player on one side of the ball, and then if he's a great, great player on two sides of the ball, well, hold on a second. Now we've got a totally different discussion. I don't have a problem with the guys getting in who are great players on, you know, I mean, just far and away great players on one side of the ball, as long as they did something else on the other side of the ball, or as you mentioned in the case of David Ortiz, were so good on that one side of the ball, you can't deny them. But you talk about the complete package. We go from Carlos Beltran to these guys at first base. They are the Carlos Beltrans of first base. They did everything well. They didn't do anything poorly. And even when it comes to power numbers and so on, Hernandez, did he hit a lot of home runs? No. But he averaged 162 game average 33 doubles. It's not as if he's just punching Judy. He's not just rolling the ball out there trying, you know, hoping. He led the league in doubles in 1979 when he won the MVP, 48 doubles and a .344 batting average.
Co-MVP with Pop Stargell.
That's right. Year. Absolutely. And then you look at Olerud. Olerud averaged 36 doubles. Hernandez, a 13 home run guy on his average. Olerud, 18 home runs. These guys were not power, power, power guys, but they weren't somebody in the lineup that you said, well, let's just throw him fastballs because he can't hurt us no matter what. But
these triple slash lines for these guys, especially the on base percentages.
Oh, yeah. Nearly 400 for each of them.
I mean, that's
really, really good stuff.
Phenomenal.
Well, in an era, honestly, where that stuff was not as prized as it is today, these guys were complete players and in so many ways unique from and ahead of their times.
Hernandez, by the way, still the best defensive first baseman I've ever seen.
He's ridiculous. Go watch the highlights. Look it up on YouTube.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
And he tried to be.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which was great. He tried to make those plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taking balls away from second baseman just because he could.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, you know, I mean, if you're a pitcher, ball's hit to the right side, you'd better be getting over there. I don't care if it's right at the second baseman. You'd better be getting over there because Hernandez is going to try to take it.
He was marvelous, and he was good at everything that a first baseman needed to be good at. He was just off the charts good.
Played hard.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, you know, Hernandez, you know, for all of his issues off the field, he was a winner.
Yeah, oh, he was absolutely.
He was a winner. And, you know, how do you quantify that? I don't know.
He's a great baseball broadcaster,
but
too.
He was a winner, man. I mean, and Olerud was just so smooth and sweet on his swing. And, I mean, that year that he – I've got it up here. In 1993, he hit .363 with a .473 on base and a .599 slugging.
54 doubles that year.
It's insane. 24 home runs, 107 RBIs. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was 114 walks. He was 0-for-2 on stolen bases. Didn't work out. But, I mean, seriously, 330 total bases that year. And this is the thing that I think is more impressive. Being a good defensive first baseman or a good defender anywhere takes a lot of work. I mean, this is not something where they just go in the cage and, you know what, hey, man, do the best you can over there because we know you're going to hit 50 home runs for us this year. So we really don't care as much because you're gonna earn us more runs and you're going to lose us at first base. These are guys that couldn't afford to not be good on defense because that's where they helped to add so much value to their team. And so you know what they did? They worked on it.
Yep.
So which makes it more impressive that they were also good offensive players because they were putting in more work than Mark McGwire's putting in. You know, I mean, you know, than Frank Thomas. I mean, you know, those guys, good grief. You just go up there and slug it, dude. We don't care what you do.
And then hit him in the chest.
Exactly, please. You know, I mean, that's what makes it more impressive. There's a lot of work that goes into being a good two-way player. I mean, a really good two-way player.
Well, and I, you know, that's my favorite thing about baseball, and those are my favorite players.
Yeah, yeah.
Always has been, always will be. Yes. Guys that were great at every aspect of their craft.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, not that I don't love and absolutely respect guys who are really, really good at one thing.
Right.
But I just, you know, you are not as good a player to me, no matter how good you are at the one thing, if you're not proficient at both. You're a Major League Baseball player, for goodness sakes.
Right. Is there a position where you say, I am more impressed by this guy who does this thing really well, even though he's not great on the other side of the ball? Is there any position
that? The great range defenders,
okay,
shortstops and center fielders, obviously. And, of course, as you and I have talked before, there may be nothing more beautiful than a great third baseman defensively.
Oh, yeah, I love,
But then a catcher. If you give me a great, great catcher, I don't even care if he gets a turn at bat.
Yeah.
You give me a great, great catcher. But I do. I mean, I love and appreciate the craftsmanship of the first baseman. I really do. I've never understood, and of course you've summed it up, anybody can play first base, very few can play it well. But what a lot of people that don't play don't understand is the geometry of the game.
Yeah.
Playing the corners is different, and it's difficult.
Yep.
Everything is going away from you at the corners because it's either cued or it's hooked. And whether it's trap draw spin or it's cued slice spin, that's a whole nother thing.
Yep.
But you're playing everything off of right angles in terms of that view, and you see things, especially if it's a quick trap pull, you see it late.
Yep.
You can't see into what's going on there, and
you know that's why I love third base more than any position on the infield because of those angles. I mean, I for whatever reason, I was a third baseman for 2 years in high school. I played 2 years of shortstop at Murray State and 2 years of second. So I played up the middle most of my career. But the 2 years I played in high school at third base were my favorite years on the infield. I love the angles of that stuff. Well, I love the ball hit hard at me. You just, hey, you got a shot? You don't have a shot.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you had no margin for error as a corner guy.
Loved
it. And it's not untrue at first base. The reason people don't look at first base like they do at third is because at first you can play the ball off your body, toss it to
still
the pitcher,
time.
And get somebody out. But I'm telling you.
Yep. You know what? I think the inverse of this proves the point as well. Bad defense at first base really looks bad.
No, it is really
it
bad. Really,
now, yeah. now we could say, okay, some people say, well, look, it can't be that hard. You know, just go over there and play it. That's not the argument to make. It reveals how important good first base defense is. When you see somebody who can't play it, you're like, my goodness. You know, this guy's killing his team. He's awful over there.
What is one of the first things that we have to handle in teaching first base? Footwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about hands.
No.
We're talking about feet.
Yes. Well, there's so many different – you talk about angles. So many different angles you must take. Quickness at first base that you must have. I mean, you know, and the ability – I mean, my favorite first base play is not the pick. My favorite first base play is the ball that's a bang-bang play that takes the guy into foul territory that he slides across the base as the runner is moving toward him, and he catches it high with the opposite foot now on the base. That is my favorite play. That is one of the most athletic plays you'll ever see. That is one of the most athletic plays, even when you see guys running toward the fence, diving toward it in the outfield and so on, the diving stop up the middle, the first baseman sliding across. That is one of the more athletic plays you'll ever see. It is impressive to see these guys. And like I said, I mean, to see guys to play a corner position and do it well and then be great offensively is a unique deal. That's why Mike Schmidt is looked at as the greatest third baseman of all time. Why? Because he could play the heck out of third base, and he also was a really, really good offensive player. And unfortunately, that's the problem at first base is people don't realize how difficult it is and don't realize how valuable it is, and guys like Hernandez and Olerud get overlooked.
We've got about 25 minutes left. I think I'm out of everything I sent you last night. Have you got anything else at all?
We can find some other stuff here. We'll be in good shape.
Scrap around and come up with something
here.
We'll
be in good shape.
That was fun, by the way.
That was good stuff. I mean, again, those debates are what baseball fans have. They talk about that kind of stuff. They think about that kind of stuff. And if you're not, you should.
That's right.
There you
should.
Go. Absolutely.
All right, going to come up on 10:30 here. We'll get you guys off to another commercial timeout. We'll let you hear from some of our fantastic sponsors. Back to take you down the finish right here on 1340 WNBS.